Revelation 12, once again. Revelation chapter 12. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she might be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waging war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. For this reason rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. And the 2 wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, in order that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." Revelation 12, 10 and 11. "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even to death.'" Amen. As we continue this morning, we are looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. This is such an urgent manner in which to see Him, not only from our vantage point, but from the vantage point of all creation. He is, after all, the Creator. It is by His Word that all things came into being. His glorious revelation as the Lamb affects not just our standing before God, but before all of creation. As our Redeemer, we see Him as the Lamb who was slain. He is our salvation. However, that will not be the view of all humanity. There are men and women, as we read in chapter 6, who will only see Him from the awful place of His righteousness and holiness as the Lamb in judgment. Revelation 6:15 through 17. and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the commanders, and the rich, and the strong, and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Their vision of Christ as the Lamb will definitely not be the same as our vision. Then last week, we began to consider Him as He stands before the throngs of the angelic hosts. They will come with Him in His glory to this earth. They will bear witness to all that befalls mankind from His position of authority. In that course, they will honor Him in the fullness of His power and of His dominion over all the universe of His creation. Today, we will conclude our look at how the angels' vision of the Lamb stirs up the praise of their hearts, to which we will be joined together. It is a view that will continue onward into an increasingly more complete picture of His glorious revelation as the Lamb of God. The angelic worship will be from the focal point of the completion of all that was their task in ministering throughout time under the plan and the purpose of God. While we are the recipients of the great grace of God, the angelic hosts are the operational means by which that grace is administered. They see the whole spectrum of God's creation and redemption of humanity from the perspective of the global picture. They have the overall vision of what took place, while we often merely see our part with a limited view of God's work. They already see Christ as the Exalted and the Holy One. They honor His every command with joy at being able to so minister His goodness and His grace abroad. They already know in reality what we are learning day by day. That is why it is so apparent to the angels that Jesus, the Lamb, is worthy of all honor and all adoration. John witnessed this as we read in Revelation 5, 11 through 13. And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In this chorus of the angelic hosts, we are instructed as to the manner in which the Lamb that was slain is more than worthy of the entire manifold praises of creation. It would enrich our worship of Him if we too were to see Him in this place of honor ascribed unto Him by the angels. They have witnessed the immense work of God that was put forth for our sake. As I mentioned, they've seen the global picture. They are marveling at all that Christ had to endure and suffer as the Lamb. They witnessed the humility that was required. They beheld the absolute sacrifice of all that the Son was in order to establish our redemption for eternity. Remember, they knew Him as God the Son before He became man. The heavenly hosts are stunned in amazement at the length and the depth of what the love of God required. The altogether lovely one, the Son, gave up that position to become man. Not only that, but they were witness to the agony of the Father and of the Holy Spirit as Christ was crucified. They saw the complete brokenness that the full Godhead endured for our sake. Many of us do not think of the total cost of Christ's sacrificial offering unto the holiness of God. We can relate to a point to the fact of the Son as man offering Himself up to die for us. That is a sacrifice that some men take upon themselves for the sake of their friends and loved ones. But the immensity of Calvary has no earthly human comparison. The Son gave up everything as God for our sake. God the Father gave up everything in His Son for our sake. The Holy Spirit gave up everything in His eternal presence for our sake. It was not just the Son who bore the pain of our sin. It was the entire Godhead who suffered the loss of all for our redemption unto Himself. This is what the angels beheld in heaven on that awful day. They saw the Eternal One, the Glorious One, the Creator of heaven and earth, set aside all and endure what had never been before. It was all in order to redeem mankind and to establish a full relationship with humanity that could never otherwise have taken place. This is the witness of the awesome love of the entire Godhead that elicits such perfect praise from the angelic hosts. Let us examine briefly this chorus of angelic worship. We will rely on a couple of experts to aid in the course of this most vital consideration. The Bible Exposition Commentary regarding this passage gives some wonderful light as to the manner in which the church should join the hearts of the angelic hosts. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Quote, what a marvelous hymn. How rich would be our worship if only we would blend all these truths in honoring Him. In this closing burst of praise, all the angels and every creature in the universe join together to worship the Redeemer. What a cascade of harmony John heard. In this hymn, they stated those things that Jesus Christ deserved to receive because of His sacrificial death on the cross. When He was on earth, people did not ascribe these things to Him. For many of these things He deliberately laid aside in His humiliation. He was born in weakness, and He died in weakness. But He is the recipient of all power. He became the poorest of the poor, 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. And yet He owns all the riches of heaven and earth. Man laughed at Him and called Him a fool, yet He is the very wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Colossians 2:3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He shared in the sinless weaknesses of humanity as He hungered, thirsted, and became weary. Today in glory, He possesses all strength. On earth, He experienced humiliation and shame as sinners ridiculed and reviled Him. They laughed at His kingship and attired Him in a mock robe, crown, and scepter. But all of that is changed now. He has received all honor and glory and blessing. He became a curse for us on the cross. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, so that we can never be under the curse of the broken law. He is worthy of all praise. The worship service climaxed with all of the universe praising the Lamb of God and the Father seated on the throne. And there was even a loud amen from the four living creatures. Keep in mind that all of this praise centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. It is not Christ the teacher, but Christ the Savior who is the theme of their worship. End quote. In this hymn of the angels, we find the summation of all that God intended for His only begotten Son. We sing of the power that is His by the right of His willingness to give up all power for our salvation. And the riches, all the riches of value, The heart of the Father has been given to him. John 3:35-36. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Not only riches, but we are now His possession, His people, purchased at the immeasurable value of His life's blood. John 17:2. Even as Thou gavest Him authority over all mankind, that to all whom Thou hast given Him, He may give eternal life. The angels and all creation will present to Him the tribute and admiration and grandeur that He so abundantly and splendidly deserves. Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The heavens will be filled with worship, as described in Revelation 4:11. Worthy art Thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou didst create all things, and because of Thy will they existed and were created. As well, the chorus that we will sing in Revelation 19:1. After these things I heard, as it were, a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Amen. Barnes notes, in a rather lengthy passage, describes the chorus of this praise. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Quote, to receive power. Power or authority to rule over all things. The meaning here is that He was worthy that these things should be ascribed to Him or to be addressed and acknowledged as possessing them. A part of these things were His in virtue of His very nature, as wisdom, glory, riches. A part were conferred on Him as a result of His work, as the mediatorial dominion over the universe, the honor resulting from His work, etc. In view of all that He was and all that He has done, He is here spoken of as worthy of all these things. And riches, abundance, that is, He is worthy that whatever contributes to honor and glory and happiness should be conferred on Him in abundance. Himself, the original proprietor of all things, it is fit that He should be recognized as such. And having performed the work which He has, it is proper that whatever may be made to contribute to His honor should be regarded as His. And wisdom. that he should be esteemed as eminently wise. That is, that as the result of the work which he has accomplished, he should be regarded as having ability to choose the best ends and the best means to accomplish them. The feeling here referred to is what arises from the contemplation of the work of salvation by the Redeemer as a work eminently characterized by wisdom. Wisdom manifested in meeting the evils of the fall, in honoring the law, in showing that mercy is consistent with justice, and in adapting the whole plan to the character and needs of man. Think of this. If wisdom was anywhere demanded, it was in reconciling a lost world to God. If it has been anywhere displayed, it has been in the arrangements for that work and in its execution by the Redeemer. Our salvation is the wisdom of God, beginning to end. And strength, ability to accomplish his purposes. That is, it is meet that he should be regarded as having such ability. This strength or power was manifested in overcoming the great enemy of man, in his control of winds and storms and diseases and devils, in triumphing over death, in saving his people. And honor. He should be esteemed and treated with honor for what he has done. And glory. This word refers to a higher ascription of praise than the word honor. Perhaps that might refer to the honor which we feel in our hearts. This to the expression of that by the language of praise. And blessing. Everything which would express the desire that he might be happy, honored, and adored. To bless one is to desire that he may have happiness and prosperity, that he may be successful, respected, and honored. To bless God or to ascribe blessing to him is that state where the heart is full of love and gratitude, and where it desires that he may be everywhere honored, loved, and obeyed as he should be. The words here express the wish that the universe would ascribe to the Redeemer all honor, and that he might be everywhere loved and adored. End quote. And as we proceed further into this letter, we come across another episode of this angelic praise recorded for our instruction as to the manner in which we, his church, should be conducting our worship of God. Revelation 7, 9 through 12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. As Barnes notes states, in drawing these two hymns of praise together, quote, substantially the same ascription of praise occurs in Revelation 5:12. The general idea is that the highest kind of praise is to be ascribed to God. Everything excellent in character is to be attributed to Him. Every blessing which is received is to be traced to Him. The order of the words indeed is changed, but the sense is substantially the same. In the former case, Revelation 5:12, the ascription of praise is to the Lamb, the Son of God. Here, it is to God. In both instances, the worship is described as rendered in heaven, and the use of the language shows that God and the Lamb are regarded in heaven as entitled to equal praise. End quote. The angel's praise of God should be our guide with respect to the perfection of heart with which we approach Him in our worship. They have witnessed the unfolding of the entire course of God's work on our behalf. They have been part of the full process in their ministry of God's plan and purpose. They long to understand it in its completion. But they already place before the Lamb and before God perfect praise for who He is. That is what we are called to do, to worship Him in a more perfect and ever-increasing manner worthy of Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are to do so right now, today, and every day of our lives, not just on earth, but for all of eternity. So be it. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. Amen.